We begin the current daf Masechet Ksubos, daf Samach Zayin. We begin 10 lines down for Tam of the Yamid, where the Gemara continues with a specific halacha that relates to the previous two Mishnayos. That is, we mentioned that depending on what the woman brings in her dowry into the Ksuba, what does the husband write as a responsibility for that Ksuba when he divorces her or when she gets widowed? And that is, if she brings in money, we said that he has to add a third to that value because he gets to use it and he gets to spend it and buy things and make money with it. So he increases a third to the value that she's bringing in, what his responsibility is. If she brings in items, for example, utensils or garments, then he diminishes a fifth. As we said, if it's evaluated at the Beis Chasnas, at the Chuppah, because there they inflate the value, so therefore he minuses a fifth, and that's what he writes as his responsibility in the Ksuba. However, if it is evaluated not in the Beis Chasnas, which is the market value that it is, then he writes that value itself. Now, on that, the Gemara brings the following halacha. Amar Rav Shimon bar Abba, Amar b'yechman. Hechnisa loy. If she brings in to the marriage her dowry, pieces of zahav, of gold. So Shaman Isir Birchnan says that it gets evaluated, Vaharehu Kishavyoy, and then it's written in the Ksuba, his responsibility, as the value itself, which is not like money that we generally increase a third, neither like items, which is like merchandise that we diminish a fifth. That's the halacha of Birchnan specifically for gold. And as the Rishonim explained, because it doesn't have the principles of both, it doesn't have that of money, which is can be used as currency as easily as money, so that's why it don't increase a third. But neither does it get diminished and inflated like other items, therefore it doesn't get diminished by a fifth. Now that the Gemara is Meisvei, we learn the Brayse as follows. Hazahov, regarding gold, broken piece of gold. So harehu kikel, the halacha of the Brayse says that gold gets the halacha like utensils. So on that, the Gemara asks, "My lav kekelim shel kesef depachsi." When it's comparing it to utensils, what type of utensils? Like utensils of silver, which since they're utilized, they get diminished in value, and therefore, like all other utensils that we said, since they get diminished as they get used up, they get ruined. So therefore, he only has to have a responsibility of minus a fifth. That seems to refer to Rabbi Yechon, who said that pieces of gold are as they are evaluated, not minus a fifth. Another thing where it says, no, kekelim shel zahav. When we're comparing gold to utensils, we're comparing it to utensils of gold. Deloy pachsi, where even though they're used, and they can be used and used, they don't get depreciated, they don't get ruined, and they retain its value. And that's why it's going to be like Rabbi Yechon and Talocha, like kelim, which is like kelim shel zahav, which is as the value that it is, because it doesn't become pachsi. That the Gemara asks, Im Kain, if like Rabbi Yechonin's interpretation of the Brice is that it's comparing it to golden utensils, that's why it gets to get written in the Ksuba as its value, then Kekelev Mibayle, it shouldn't have said like Kelim, it should have said like its utensils. Gold is written in the Ksuba for the responsibility of the husband, like its utensils, meaning of gold. That's one question. Obviously, it wouldn't be kelim shel zahav. That's why it says like utensils, meaning of other types, which is like of silver, which gets diminished, which is minus a fifth, which is not like a b'yechna. But oid, the Gemara says, another question is, Tanya, learn the Brayse as follows. The Brayse says, zav harehu kekelim. It first says that gold is like kelim, which is like the same halacha of the previous Brayse, but from the machlekes of the second case of this Brayse, the Gemara will prove that your b'yechna's interpretation of the first Brayse, which is saying that Zav is like Kalim of Zav, is incorrect, and it must be like Kalim of Kesef, because the first halacha is the same. But the second halacha, Dinrei Zahav, golden coins, meaning that that gold was minted into a coin. So on that, the Tanna Kamma says, Harehin Kiksafim. That gives it halacha like money, which is like we said in the previous Mishnah, you have to add a third, because it's there available to go ahead and use it and make money off of it. That's why you have to add a third to it. Now, on that, Reb Shimon Gamliel, he says, "B'makom shenogu shaloi lafartan." If it's in a place where it's not used, meaning it's not exchanged with silver dinarim or prutais to use for purchasing and other things, then shaman eisen, they're evaluated, v'harein b'shavyein, and then they have they're written in the ksuba as their value. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, which will prove the question of the Gemara, "B'shimon Gamliel, which case, there were two cases of the Tanakama. One is of pieces of gold that he says like kalim, and one is like gold coins that is like money. So on which case of Shimon Gamliel saying that if it's not exchanged, if it's not used by people, then it has its shavius, it has its value itself, not more, not less. Ilema seifa, if it's going on the case of the seifa, meaning the second case, that of dinrei zav, of golden coins, mechlal de tanakama seifa, that would infer that the tanakama, who said that it is like kiksafim, that it is like money, afele b'malkum shenagu shaloi lafartan, Reb Shimon is coming to argue. And he's saying, wait a second, if it's not used, if it's not exchanged with other currency, then it's not going to have halacha as whatever the tanakama is saying, but rather like it's shavius. So if it's going on the seifa, which is on the dinarim, on the coins, sounds like tanakama would hold that even if it's not exchanged. But then the question is holei nafke, but it's not used. Why would you consider it like money, even if it's dinrei zav, even if it's coins? But the whole point of why you add a third is because he can use it, and he could use it for business and whatnot, but he can't because it's nagush lelapartan. So Elav, Rav the Gemara says, Aresha, must be that Reb Shimon Gamliel is going and arguing the first case of the Tanakama. V'achakam, and this is what the Brice is saying. Tanakama says, Zav harehu kekelim, that gold is like utensils. Now, my kelim, and this is the Gemara's point, what it's proving, that what does the Tanakama mean when it compares gold to utensils? It must be kelim shel kasef, it must be silver vessels, which, as we explained before, since they get depreciated in value as they're used, when the husband writes it in the ksuba, he writes minus a fifth. Now, how do we know that the Tanakama means kelim shel kesef? Which again reinforces the first question of the Gemara from the first brisa. Not like how the Gemara had to answer for Rabbi Yochanan that means kelim shel zav, because there was Shimon Gamliel Omer. Shimon Gamliel argues, and he says no, harehu kedinarin shel zav b'makom shenagu shaloi lafartin. And he says that no, that pieces of gold, as he explained, have the same halacha as gold coins in the place where they're not exchanged with other currency. Hence, you don't add a third because it can't be used to just go ahead and purchase things and use it for business dealings. And rather, it's like golden coins that are not exchanged where they don't get diminished, but you give it like the shavius itself, like the value itself, like Shimon Gamliel said in that price. Now, this is difficult according to Biechna, because as we explained before, the only way that he's able to resolve his halacha, that zahav is like a shavius, not more, not less, from the first price, which says it's like kelim, has to be like kelim shel zav. Now, that can't be what the Tanakama says, because as we explained, Reb Shimon Gamliel cannot be arguing on the seifa, because if he was arguing the seifa, the Tanakama wouldn't make sense. And if he's arguing on the reisha, Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion is basically saying that it has the shavius. Now, if the Tanakama is saying that Zav is like Kelim Shel Zav, that's also the Shavius. So what Reb Shimon Gamliel arguing? Must be, if Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying it has the Shavius itself, must be the Tanakama that's saying that Zav is like Kelim, is Kelim Shel Kesef, which gets depreciated, which the husband only writes, minus a fifth, not like the Shavius itself, which is not like Rabbi Yochanan Salacham. I think Moses says lie. No, this does not contradict Rabbi Yochanan. Because L'Olam Aseifa, truthfully we could say that Reb Shimon Gamliel was arguing on the case of dinari zehav. This that the Tanakama said, that golden coins has halacha like money, which since it circulates and that it gets exchanged with other currencies, so you have to add a third. So Reb Shimon Gamliel, when he argued, and he said when it's loy partan, when it's not exchanged, that then one does not add a third, but rather like the shavius, like the value itself, that's where he argues on the Tanakama. Now, the question was, so what's the understanding of Tanakama? Why would the Tanakama hold that if it's not exchanged, you cannot use it, and you can't use it for exchanging and other coins with other currencies, so why would he hold that then you would add a third, which the whole point of adding a third is only because he could use it? So, the Gemara explains, because of the nafki al dehatzchak, we're talking about that the golden coins, they do circulate, they are exchanged, but with great difficulty. Most of the people don't want to use it, but it could be used. Well, B'hokam Evgen, this is what they're arguing about. Marsa v'tanakama holds, kibin denafki, since ultimately they could be used, so m'shabchin Allah. So then he has to increase and add a third to the golden coins that she's bringing in. Umarsa v'bisham Gamliel held that, no, kibin denafki al da'atchak, since it could only be used with great difficulty, so lay m'shabchin Allah, so we don't add a third, but rather like the value itself, and therefore this second brisa does not refute Rabbi Yochanan again how he resolved the first brisa, which was that zav is like kalim of zav again, which is like the shavis itself. Or if the Gemara says another way to resolve this second brisa for Rabbi Yechanan is that actually kula shem gemilil here. Actually, the whole brisa is shem gemilil. There's no machlokes. The word's missing, and this is what the brisa says: zahav harehu kukel. That was the first halacha mentioned in the brisa, which again we're resolving the way Rabbi Yechanan holds, as we answered for the first question, the Gemara, that gold has the halacha as gold utensils, which is that it has the shavis itself. Now the second halacha was saying din rezav harehin kiksafim, golden coins has halacha as money, which you add a third because golden coins you can use like all other coins. Now and that is what Reb Shmuel qualified and said. When did we say that? Did you add a third? B'makom shenagu lafartim, where they could be exchanged with other coins. B'makom shenagu shloy lafartim, but in a place where it's not exchangeable, people don't use it in their currency. So then, shaman oisam meir meshav yehin, then it's evaluated and it's given the value itself, not more than that. That is divir Reb Shmuel. And that's where, although it sounds like it was another opinion, it's the shin over here. Sher Reb Shmuel, I mean, because Reb Shmuel says, b'makom shenagu shloy lafartim, if it's a place where they don't exchange, it's not used, then shaman oisam b'harei meshav yehin, then they're evaluated and it's given the value itself. So the Gemara has two ways of resolving the second brisa, which is the second question of the Gemara. But the Gemara says, but mikamakam kikela mebayle. But the question still is, as was asked on the first brisa, that if it's comparing gold to golden utensils, to golden vessels, it shouldn't say kikelim like vessels, it should be kikelov like its vessels. Just like, because other vessels actually get depreciated. Gold doesn't, so if you're saying that golden pieces is like its vessels, which, yes, is not more but not less, it should have said kikei lov. So the Gemara says kasha, that definitely is difficult. It doesn't refute it, because you could say it means of golden vessels, but it should have said kikei lov, not kikei lov. Or the Gemara says, iba yisem, if you want, you could say that truthfully, you're right, it's a good diuk, and that when it compares gold to kelim, it means kelim of kesef, of silver, which do get depreciated, and it's still not going to contradict Rabbi Yechanan, because when Rabbi Yechanan said that pieces of gold have they written in the ksuba by the husband as its value, it's talking about large bars of gold. Hach over here in the brisa of Maiskin, what are we talking about? Bedahava pricha. We're talking about small little pieces of gold where it crumbles from them when one handles them. Where since they get depreciated because it loses it when it's handled, that's why it's going to be like kelim shel kesef, which the husband only writes minus a fifth. Or Rav Asher, he says, similarly says b'memalala, but he says that it could be talking about a case of small little dust of gold, which are called gold dust, again, that gets diminished in its handling, and that's why the brisa says less than a fifth, but it doesn't contradict Rabbi Yechanan that says it's the value itself, because it's talking about large chunks of gold. Now the Gemara continues on the related discussion regarding what gets evaluated what with the wife bringing in the dowry. So Amar Rabbi Yana, he says, B'samim shel Antochia, the spices of Antochia, which is their primary merchandise that they have in Antochia. And so if a woman brings in such an item and it gets evaluated into the dowry of the Ksuba, Saharehin kiksafim. They have halacha as money, which we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, that when the woman brings in money, the husband has to take responsibility and write in a third more of the total value, which is half the amount of what its value is. That's what he has to do because it's the same thing as money. It's essentially the same thing because it's their main thing of merchandise. Similarly, Amar b'Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, some of the Gersa Rabbi Yenison, Gemalim shel Arabia, the camels of Arabia, Isha Goiva Paranam. Similarly, there too, a woman collects, Paranam in this context means a third more. Again, the same idea because since it's essentially the same thing as money. Amar Papa, he says, Hani Taisvei de Beimachse, the garments of that place of Beimachse. Also, Isha Goiva Paranam, the woman collects a third more from them. Vamar Papi, similarly, he says, Hani Saki de Roidya, the sackcloth of Roidya, Vaashle, and the ropes, the kamachinya of machinya, isha gave paranam. There too, a woman collects a third more. Again, there the main things were those items. They could be easily bartered and exchanged and used. Therefore, it's the same thing essentially as money. Now, linguistically related to this discussion, which is the same word parna, but as Rashi will explain, the word parna in this context means something else, the Gemara brings a different halacha. Amar Rava says, Mereish hava mina. Originally I thought, I wanted to say, Hani arnaki de mechuza. These big chests, these bags full of money of mechuza, isha goiva parnamem. The people of mechuza had these large sackcloths, these large bags of money, these money bags. He said, I thought that when the woman wants to collect her ksuba from the assets of the orphans, that she could collect from these money bags. And we do not say, which we generally do, that the metaltlin, the movable items, meaning anything but land of orphans, do not become indebted meshubet to bal chayiv, to a collector, which is what a widow is. But he says, originally I thought that a woman would be able to collect from that. Now, my time, what's the reason? Because the primary idea of what a bal chayiv could collect from is the component of smichas das, of reliance. Is there a lien on this item? So he says, I thought, asmechasayu alayu, that the women rely on these money bags, that these are concrete things, that they'll be able to go ahead and collect from them. The reason being is because since mechaza, they were merchants, for them essentially the money bags was the equivalent of their land, which is what land is usually for regular people. And therefore, he said, I thought that women would be able to collect, just like you collect from the chasim shabadim, from karka, from regular, from the yisayim, from the orphans, for the widow. I thought the money bags of mechaza would be the equivalent. However, he says, kivin dechazoy dishaklo, once I saw that the women that were widowed and divorced, when they were collecting the ksuba, they would take the money bags, benafke, and then they would go out. Now, v'chimashkichi ara zavni buhu, when they would find land, they would go ahead and purchase those lands with these money bags. So Amini says, I said, asmechasayo arahu. No, their true reliance, true confidence is only in land. And therefore, if they're coming to collect from the Yisrael, they could only collect from land and not from the money bags, again, because that does not have the shibud of smichas das, that reliance is only on land, as he saw ultimately that's what they did, and therefore they could only collect from land, even the mechaza, and not from the money bags. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, regarding the nedunya, the dowry that the woman brings into the marriage, that commonly is given by the father, her father, into the marriage. So the Mishnah says, Hamasias bitei stam, if a regular man is marrying off his daughter to a husband, so leyifchus lo mechemishim zuz, he should not diminish, he should not give her less than 50 zuz that she should bring in as a dowry into her marriage. However, if pasak lachnis aruma, if he decided, he said that he's going to bring her into her new marriage without anything, then lo yemer habal, her new husband should not say, look, when I bring her into my house, then I'll cover her with my clothing. He should not say that. Even before they go to the chuppah, before they get married, he should clothe her, even when she's still in her father's house. Now, similarly, regarding a gabbai of tzedakah, someone that's in charge of tzedakah, a charity, a collector that gives out charity, Hamasias Hayisem, that marries off an orphan, Layifchas La Mechamishim says he also should not give her less than 50 zuz, that's what she should bring into her new marriage. Now, Miesh Bekis, if there's a lot more money in the Pushka, Mefarnas and Isa Lafichavad, then he supports her according to her honor, however dignified that she is, more than the 50 zuz. Now, Amma Abai, the Gemara explains, he says, Chamishim zuz must be that this 50 zuz that we said, that's the minimum how much a father or a gabbai tzedakah should give for a woman going into a new marriage, must mean pshiti, meaning common, the zuzim that are used throughout the country, which is an eighth of a zuzi tsuri, of a tyrant zuz. Now, mimai, what's the proof? Because Meditani Seif, and the fact that the end of the Mishnah said, emyesh bekis, if the charity collector has more money, then mefanes anayis lefichavayda, then he supports her, I mean, he gives her for her nedunya, according to how dignified she is. Now, Varmina, my kiss, we said, what's the kiss? What is this generally defined as a wallet? So Amr Chav, it says, Aron HaKishol Tzedakah means to say, the wallet, the banks of the Tzedakah. Now, V'isak Adai Dechamishim Zuzi Mamish. Now, if you would entertain that 50 Zuz means 50 Zuz Tzuri, some yesh bekiss, if there's more money, Kami Avin La, how much should she give? What do you mean? You know how much money 50 Zuzi Tzuri is? It's so much. So, Lafich Vaidi, add more?
So that's what Abaye says must mean that when it means the minimum is 50 zuz, it means 50 zuz in Medina, which is the common usage one, which is an eighth less than that. And that's the minimum. Then, lafich faida, if they have more money, then they go ahead and give according to how dignified she is. Now, the Gemara says a related discussion to this that we had mentioned in the Mishnah, that one, what one gives for a yasim and a yisayma, so talking about the braisa. Yasim v'yisayim mishabo lisparnas, an orphan boy or girl that is coming to come to the tzedakah, to the charity, and wants to get supported, they want to get food. So mefarnas nasa yisayma v'achkach mefarnas as a yasim. First they support the orphan, that's the girl, and only then the boy. And the reason is, m'nesha ish darker lachsal psachim, it's normative for a man to go collecting by the doors, vein ish darker lachsal, it's not the way for a woman, and she's going to starve, and therefore we first support her, and then the man. Now, yasim v'yisayim is similarly regarding the orphan, male or female, as we can tell on Talmud Beis, shebo linase, that they come to the tzedakah, to the charity, and they want to get married, whereas the Gemara will shortly explain that we learn from the pasuk asher yechzu loy, where loy means a woman, that's actually part of the needs of a pauper that we have to support him for. So if they're both coming to get supported, to get married, first marry off the female orphan and then the male orphan. Because the embarrassment of a woman is greater than that of a man, and therefore we first take care of her needs and then that of his needs. So we turn by window, Braisa. Yasim Shabalise. If an orphan that's coming to get married, so us from the charity, we rent him a house, matzin loy mita, we get him a bed, v'chol kli tashmisha, and all utensils that are basic, that are necessary, v'ach kach matzin loy isha, and then we marry him off, shenem, like it says in the pasuk. The pasuk in Devarim starts off in Perek Tzvav, pasuk Chas, says, ki pasayach tiftach az yad chalei, because you should surely open up your hands to him, v'havet tavetenu, and you should lend him. Whereas our Gemara says, what he's lacking, you should give him enough. What he's lacking, that you should give it to him. So what are these terms? So the Gemara explains, and that's the order of how the Braisa just said it. Enough for what he's lacking is a habayis. That's a reference to renting him a house. That he's lacking, that's a reference to a bed and a table. And loy, to him, zu isha, it's a reference to a wife. Why? That's what it says in Pasuk in Bereishis. Eser loy ezer connected. I will make for him a helpmate opposite him, which that's because that's part of him, that's the ishta kagufay, and therefore you see all these things are necessary to support a person from tzedakah. Now, similarly from that Pasuk, the Gemara Darshan is trying to bang on the Braisa. De machsoy roy, enough of his lacking. What that means is, the Braisa says, at the mitzvah of lefarnasai, you're commanded to support him, to fill his voids, but v'yat ha-mitzuvah lav l'asher, you're not commanded to make him wealthy. And this that it says, asher yechzu loy, that which is lacking to him, what do you mean to him? It means, afilosus lirkav lav, meaning if this person was used to riding on a horse, then you have to give him what he has now lost, and you have to give him a horse to ride on. And v'evad laris lafanav, and they used to have a servant running in front of the horse, taking this wealthy person. Now when they lost it all, you have to support him, what was his needs, and even such a servant to run in front of him. As the Braisa says, that Amru Allah al-Hul ha-Hal-Azakan, they said regarding Hill the elder, Shalakach la'ani ben Tayvim Echad, that he took for a pauper who was from a dignified family who lost the money, Sus Lerkevalav, a horse to ride on, Be'evel Laris Lefanav, and a servant to run in front of him, and Pam Achas Le'motze Evel Laris Lefanav, one time he didn't find, which was necessary from the Halachas and Tzedakah, to have a servant running in front of him, v'ratz lafan of shleisha milan, and Hill the elder himself ran in front of this person 3 mil. Suddenly the Gemara brings Tamar on the Braisa. Maisa ba'anchi Galil ha'alyan. There was an incident with the people of the upper Galilee. Shalakhu la'ani ben toivim echad b'tzipari, that they took, meaning they gave for charity for a poor person from a dignified family from Tzipari, litra basra b'chol yom. A litra, a certain amount of measurement of meat every single day. So the Gemara asked, litra basamai ravu, so what's the big deal about a litra of meat? That's not such a big deal. That's regular hilchos tzedakah. So Amravun, he says, litra basam mishal eifes. He was talking about a litra of meat of fowl, which was expensive, and he was a very delicate person, and he needed that type. That was the chiddush, that's the novelty. V'baisema, or that those that say, belitra basar mamash, actually was talking about a litra, meaning of meat that was expensive, and they spent a litra of money for the meat. Now that's a lot of money. That was the chiddush that they spent that to purchase a meat. Or a third interpretation, the Gemara says, Rav Ashiyam, he says, Hasam kfar katnayu. In the upper Galilee where they were, there was a small little village. Now, the rest of the meat, what they had to slaughter an animal to get him a litre of meat, couldn't be sold. And therefore, b'chol yema have a mafsid de chiyusa amatuluse, they would lose an entire animal because of him. And that was the novelty. And truth is, it really was just told my regular litre of basar, which is not a large amount, but they had to go ahead and slaughter an animal to get the litre of basar, which the rest would be a total loss because they couldn't sell it. The Gemara says, Hahu, there was a certain pauper who was wanted to be supported. They came in from the Nechemia and he wanted someone to help him out and give him food. So Nechemia said to him, what is it that you're used to eating in your meals? So Amalei said to him, Babasar shamin v'yayin yashin, fatty meat and old wine. So Nechemia said to him, look, I don't have that. Do you want to eat with me lentils? So Gilgalimai Badashim Ameh, so he ate with him lentils and he died. So Amar Ibn Nechemia said, Oy loy lazeh, woe to this person, Shaharog Ibn Nechemia, that Nechemia killed him. Now the Gemara wonders, Adarab, to the contrary, why does he say it like that? Oy loy lenechemia, Shaharog lazeh meboyle. He should have said, woe to Nechemia that killed this person, because he did something bad. So the Gemara says, no. Ela ihu hu deloy iboyle lefanuke nafshe kulehai. And Nechemia did not take responsibility. Because woe to this person, that he made himself so delicate that he couldn't eat anything else but his fatty meat and his aged wine, woe to him, because lentils is perfectly great, as Rav Nechemia himself ate. And there he said, woe to him, that Nechemia killed him because he made himself so delicate. There was someone that came in front of Rava, and Amalei, so Rava said to him, look, he wanted to give him food. Bamata said, what is it that you normally dine on? So the pauper said to him, "Betanagulis petuma v'yayin yashin." He said that with stuffed hen and with a fatty hen and with old wine. So Malay, so he said to him, "Aren't you concerned for what you're doing to the public, because you're taxing everybody else and you're eating off from tzedakah such fatty good stuff and everyone else, the hard people that are working, they're not eating this type of stuff." So the pauper said to him, look, atu miditu kachilna, do you think I'm eating from the people's money? Midrachmana kachilna, I'm eating from Hashem. Detenin leg will end up raisa. The pasuk and tell him from Ashrei says, Ein echal alecha yisabiru, the eyes of everyone looks to you, Hashem. Va'atu naisin lehem es achlam bi'itai, and you give them their food in his designated time. Now, bi'itam le'nem, it doesn't say, as it's talking about all the people in plural, in their time, ela bi'itai, rather in his time, meaning everyone according to what he needs, everyone according to what he's used to eating. So malama that comes to teachers should call echad ve'echad nois nakadosh baruch hu parnasas bi'itai. Hashem gives every single person his parnasa, his sustenance, his food, what he's used to eating in his appropriate time. Hashem gives it to me. It's not you, although it's coming from tzedakah. It's really Hashem. He'll give it to me what I need. Now adahachi asoy achsi the rava. In the meantime, when they were having this discussion, Rav's sister came to visit him, that he didn't see in 13 years, and she just happened to come now. Now, what do you know? She brought him as a gift, a stuffed fat hen, and old wine. So Amar Rav says, what is here in front of us? What's going on? That this thing happened, that I never have this type of food here. Suddenly this guy comes, and what do you know? There's a stuffed hen and old wine over here. So Malaysa Rabbi said to him, he says, Nanesilach, I obviously spoke too much against you. Kol machal, get up and eat, because obviously you're right. It's not us, it's Hashem that's giving you, and you have the right to eat what you're used to eating. So a later discussion, the Gemara said, Tumba learn the Braisa. Let's say Einloi. Let's say a person is really poor. He doesn't have his own money, his own food. But Ve'ena Ritzalis Barnes, he has pride, and he doesn't want to be supported from tzedakah, from charity. So the halacha is Noisin Loy L'Shum Halva. He's not going to take a handout. So he said, look, we're giving you a loan. Then v'chayzin v'nayzin l'shem matana de Rameir. Then Rameir says, after he already has it, you say, oh, it's okay, it was a gift. That's what Rameir says. V'chamayim, he says, no, nayzin l'shem matana, we give him a gift. V'chayzin v'nayzin l'shem halva, and then they give it to him as a loan. So the Gemara asks, l'shem matana, what do you mean as a gift? You just said, holei shakal, he's not going to take it. So Amar Rav, and the Rav says, what the Chacham were saying was, you should open up, your first entreaty should be that we want to give you a gift. If he refuses, as he's that type of a person, then you give it to him as a loan. The next case the Bresa talks about is, yesh loy ve'ein eretz lispanis. Let's say he has money, but he doesn't want to support himself from his own money. Rather, he's a miser, and he wants to be supported from charity. And he tortures himself, and he starves himself because he's not going to use a penny of his to eat for himself. So on that, the Braisa says, Nation Leila Shematana. So we say, okay, we'll give you a gift. And then they go ahead and they collect from him, because or else he's going to starve himself, and we don't want him to do that. So the Gemara says, if you go ahead and you collect from him, then Sulei Shakal, then next time he's not going to take, because he knows it's just a front. So my papa explains, La'achar Misa, means after he dies. So you give him for 10 years, say, well, give me a gift. And then when he dies, we take from the estate what really was really not his, because he really had money, and we go and collect. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Shimon, he says, yesh levi ein eretz lisparnas, if somebody has money and doesn't want to eat from it, then ein eskakon, like, we have nothing to do with him. We don't give him tzedakah, let him die. Now, ein levi ein eretz lisparnas, let's say he doesn't have, and he doesn't want to support himself. So that Reb Shimon says, oimim loy have mashkin betol. So what we do is, he gives a different idea than the other opinions previously mentioned in the Braisa. He says that we tell him, look, bring collateral. We know you don't have money, but bring collateral, and then take kedesha tezuch daitalov, so that he should feel confident. He'll feel all proud of himself. He says, oh, obviously they're going to collect from me, because why would they ask for collateral? And therefore, it must be it's just a loan, and he won't be embarrassed to take from tzedakah. Now, however, he will ultimately say, I don't have collateral. And then they'll say, okay, fine, look, take without collateral, but he'll be confident knowing that it's not really a handout because they asked for collateral and thinking that it's a loan, and therefore they should first put up that front that he won't be embarrassed to take from tzedakah. Now, Tamar, and then the Braisa, again, going back to that pasuk we mentioned before, which begins, ki pesach tiftach es yad chalei, that you should surely open up your hand to the poor person. So it says, v'havi tavi tenu, that you should surely lend to the poor person what he's lacking. Now, the Braisa expounds the redundancy of havi tavitana. So the Braisa says the first word havit lend is ze she'ein loy ve'ein eretz lisparnas, as we spoke about in the previous Braisa. It's somebody that doesn't have money and doesn't want to be supported from tzedakah. She'nayson loy l'shum havo, that we give him, quote, as a loan. That's what the havit is saying for the poor person that doesn't have money. And then we say, oh, don't worry, it was a gift. Taviten, you should surely lend him. The second term is Zeshayesh Leva Inuritz Lispan, says told much somebody that has money but doesn't want to support himself from his own money. We're Shanlisan Lishumatan, that we give it to him as, quote, a gift. And then we go ahead and we collect from him, as was explained previously by Rav Papa, after that he dies, quote, as if it was a loan. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in these two terms, again, paralleling what we mentioned in the previous braisa. But v'chacham aymim, as was said previously by Rabbi Shimon, yesh leiv ein eretz l'sparnas, if somebody has money and he doesn't want to support himself, he's so stingy from his own money, then ein eskakon loy, then we have nothing to do with him. So what do we expound according to the chachamim, the second term of you should surely lend him? That's dibri Torah kolashim. The other than that, the Torah talks in the way people talk, which people talk in redundant terms, and therefore there's no extra drasha for it. It's just talking about the need to lend a poor person money, and again, if he doesn't want to take, then we, quote, give it to him as a loan, and then we forgive it to him as a matana. The Gemara brings a story that Mar Ukva have anya b'shibivuse. Mar Ukva had a pauper in his neighborhood. That every single day, he would give him 4 zuz. He would put it in the pivot of the door, which is the hole where the door turns. In that tzir, he would put the money of that he would give this person as charity. Now, yom echad amar, one day the pauper said to himself, Ezel ichzi man ka'ovid biahu tivusa. Says, let me go see who's doing me this great kindness, meaning Maropa wanted to do the greatest level where, at least one of the greatest levels where the person doesn't know who's doing him that right, that charity, because he's not embarrassed. So he said, let me go ahead and see who's my benefactor. Now, hahu yom, and that day that the pauper has said, okay, that I'm going to try to find out who is this person, nagulei lema'ukva lebe medrasha. Ma'ukva was late coming home from the base medrash. Asi the base about this. So his wife came to get him, and then they were coming together to put the money in the person's door. Nakivin the chazua, once the pauper saw them coming to put the money, the komatzli ledasha, that he saw that the door started slanting, nafik basrai, he went out to catch them. So rot mekame, they ran away from him. Aili lahu atuna dahava grufa nura. So they jumped into an oven that had the fire already shoveled out. Now, however, it was still hot oven. Havakumakalian carried the marukva, so marukva's toes, his soul, started getting toasted a little bit. So Amrle Devesu, so his wife told him, Shokul karech isiv akaroi, take your feet and put them on my feet, because her feet weren't getting burnt. So Chalash Daite, so marukva was disheartened by that he obviously wasn't on such a great level as his wife. So Amrle, his wife said to him, look, Anosh chichno begavei debesis. She said, don't worry, I'm always home. And the paupers who knock on the homes, they find me, and I'm there to give them, and therefore my merit is greater. But it's not because I'm a greater person, it's just because I'm more available. Moreover, makar v'anayasi, the pleasure that I give to the paupers is a more prepared, more readily accessible pleasure than yours, because I give them bread and meat and salt, but you give them money. Now, then they have to go and exert themselves and buy and go to the store and purchase the food. Therefore, my charity is greater, but not because I'm a greater person, and therefore don't worry that my feet are not getting burnt at all. Now, the Gemara wonders, my kulehai, what was this big deal? Why did they have to run away from the person? Moreover, they even jumped into an oven. So the Amar Mar Zutra Bar Tovi Amar Rav. V'amrila, and some say it was Amar Rav Huna Bar Bizna, Amar Shem Chasida. V'amrila, and some say it was Amar B'yechon Mishum Mishum Ben Yechoy. Noich Leila Adam Shiyim Tzer Atzma L'Toch Kiv Shana Eish. It would be more convenient for a person to throw himself into a fiery furnace, val yabim penecha ve'barabim, and not embarrass the face of his friend in public. Now here he would be embarrassed when he sees these people are giving to me. Any person that has to take feels embarrassed. But if you don't know who it is, you don't feel embarrassed from them, and therefore they ran away. Even to be meiser nefesh, to jump into a fiery furnace. Now, Manolan, where do we know this halacha from? Mitamar, from the biblical figure of Tamar. Just like it says a pasuk in Bereishis, it says he mutzes. It says that Tamar was being taken out to be killed. Now it says that really Yehuda, who had paskind, he was the bezin that said she has to be killed. Really, he was the one that impregnated her. Now she didn't say that because that would have been embarrassing to him. So she just, as the pasuk says, he's shulcha, she sent to our father-in-law, the man that it's this stick and this seal, it's him that impregnated me. So even though she was going to be taken out to be burnt, she didn't reveal it. Rather, only if he does, and if not, she was willing to be burnt. So we see that because it would have embarrassed Yehuda, it's better to jump into a fire than embarrass someone. And that's why they did that, not to embarrass the person that was getting charity from them. Another story the Gemara brings, Marukva, have anya b'shevuse. Marukva had a pauper in his neighborhood. That every Erev Yom Kippur, he would give the person 400 zuz. Now, yom echad, shadrin in halebi adbere. One time, he gave it to his son to give it to that pauper. Now, asa amali leitzach. His son came home and said, ta, this person doesn't need it. So Marukva said, my chaz, what did you see? How do you know that he doesn't need the money anymore? So it says, Chazoi, the Kamizal Filayan Yosh, I saw that they were doing Ziluf, which in itself is for the wealthy, where they would take wine and pour it on the ground that would have a good aroma in the house. Moreover, he took aged wine. So definitely he's a wealthy person, he doesn't need charity. But Omar, Bamarukva, he saw a different perspective. He says, Mefane Kuli Hai, he's so delicate, he's so that type of a prestige that needs such high class things, Aifinu. He says, I'm going to double the amount v'shadrin in alei and send to him the tzedakah, double of what he needs, because he must be so much in the hole, because he doesn't need just regular basics. He needs to satisfy such delicate types of needs and etiquette. Now, kikon nicha nafshe, Omar, when Mar Ukva was passing away, he said, Aishi lichush benoy did tzedakah, bring me my calculations of the charity that I have given. Ashkach tavik sivbe, he found that it was written in that, Shivas alfi dinri siyanke, that he had given 7,000 siyanke, which is the name of a place, dinar. So as he said, self-reflectively, Zivadoi kalili, the provisions that I've prepared for myself are very light. But it's a far journey which I'm going out now, meaning to the next world. So come, Bazvazay Lafalgi Mimani. So he went and he took half his assets and gave it away to charity. Which the Gemara asks, how do you do this? Vamir Balabir Balai said, Bu'usha Iskina and Usha they instituted. If someone's dispersing his money, he shouldn't disperse and dispense more than a fifth of it to charity. How could he take half? So I think Maran says, that's only when the person's going to still be alive. And the reason being is, don't give away all your money away to charity. He might lose his money and he won't have anything to support himself. But after the person passes away, he doesn't need any money, and therefore he's allowed to give away even more than a fifth to charity. Another story the Gemara brings, Reb Abba havetzar zuzi besudari. Reb Abba would wrap money, zuzim, in a kerchief, v'shadi lelachar, and he would throw it behind himself. Umamtzi nafshe lebe'anya, and he would go and put himself in a place where there were a lot of poor people around. And however, umamtzli eini, but he would slant his eyes towards the back, miramoy, to see, to make sure that conniving thieves would go ahead and open it and take it. So, but he would make himself like for the pauper, that the pauper should come and they would open it up and they would take it. But again, he would make sure that no inappropriate people would be taking the money that's meant for the poor people. The Gemara says, Rabbanina had a certain poor person that every Erev Shabbos he would send them four zuz. Now, yom echad shadrinin alei biyad debesu. One time, he sent it with his wife. Asoy Amar Leilei Tzarech, his wife came and said, these people don't need charity. So he said, my chazis, what did you see? So she said, Shami Dehavaka Amrile, I heard that they were telling to the person, B'mat Asoy, how do you want to dine tonight? As we continue on top of Samachasim and Alf, Bitlei Kesef, with silver tables, in other words, with tablecloths made out of white linen, which is like silver, or with golden tables, in other words, with golden silk, that type of tablecloth. So obviously that he must have a lot of money if this is the type of tables that he's eating on. To which Amar Reb Chanina said, Hainu de Amar Reb Elazar. This is what Reb Elazar said. That you're right, maybe he's wealthy, and we've been giving him charity. But we should come and give thanks to the conniving people that trick us. Because if not for them, we would sin all day. And that is because that we would just turn a blind eye to the poor people. But now, actually, it's the Ramoim that cause us this problem. A, first of all, they cause us to give, but also they cause us not to give. And therefore, the blame is for them. It's their fault that we don't give. Because, like it says the Pasuk in Devarim, the Pasuk says, it begins in Perek Tezvav Pasuk Tes that says, Hisham alacha, you should be careful. Penyid davim levavcha b'liyal lema, that maybe there's going to be in your heart something without a yoke saying, that karvish nasa shevash nasa shmita, that the shmita year is coming soon. V'ra eincha b'achicha ha'evyan, your eye is going to be bad towards your brother, the poor person. Flesitla, you're not going to give him money to lend him money, because you know that once shmita year comes that he doesn't have to pay you anymore. But v'kara alacha al Hashem is going to call out because of you that you're not lending him to Hashem. V'hoye b'chachet, and there's going to be a sin in you. Now, v'tani Reb Chiya Barav Medifti, that Reb Yishuv ben Karcha Emir, kalamalim inam minat tzedakah. What we learn from this pasuk is that someone turns a blind eye from charity, kilo oivet avedis kacham, it's like he had worshipped idols. Because k'siv hachet says here in this pasuk, hisham alacha, that you should be careful, the term b'li'al. Now, v'goyim etc. B'ksiv hasam, it says over there, pasuk in Devarim, yatsu anoshim b'nei v'lial, that men went out over there, men of b'lial, which literally means without a yoke, but we see the same term, and malahal navodis kecham, just like over there, the context is in reference to idol worship, afkan navodis kecham, here also it's a reference to, just like it's the equivalent of idol worship, and therefore he says we should thank the Ramoin, because we don't give enough charity. But the blame goes to them, because it's because of them that we say, oh, why should I give charity? Look, they're lying and they're fakers. They don't need the money. And that's why we don't give it, because if not for them, the fact that we don't give enough charity, we would be sinners and we would be considered as if we're being oivered by turning a blind eye of giving appropriate charity to the poor people.